The scripture reading for this evening is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love.
Good evening, church. It's good to be with you this evening. It was unfortunate that I couldn't be here with you this morning. I was actually at my home church preaching. So I had the opportunity to preach a couple of times. Oh, there we are. Hello. There we go. All right, we're good now. Okay, we're good. I had the opportunity to preach this morning. So again, I have the opportunity to be with you and preach this evening. So I'm pretty excited. And this lesson is something that has been on my heart for quite a while. And I entitled it, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Because there are some things that we don't quite see. And to give you a bit of an idea of what I'm talking about here, I have a story. As the story goes, a man was coming home from a flight. And as he steps out into the busy terminal, he sees all these people rushing around, trying to make their flights, trying to find their rides. There's all these people, and they're rushing in so many different directions. As the man steps out into the busy street, he's waiting for his ride. And he looks across the street and sees a young woman. And as their eyes meet, she gives this polite smile. And then the man sees, next to the woman, another man. He's wearing this suit and this bright red tie. And they seem to be pretty happy. Well, eventually the man's ride comes, and as he's sitting in the car and he's thinking back to this moment where he had looked at this couple, he began to wonder, did I see everything? My preacher friend who told me this story at this point went back and said, what if you could take a second look? What if you could take a closer look at what was seen? He said, because a young woman who had that polite smile barely had that smile. And that smile could barely hide years of stress and anxiety and struggle. And the man standing next to her in the suit and tie had been out of work, too ashamed to tell his wife. He was buying time. For so many instances where sometimes I think we fit this. We don't quite see all the time. But you know what's interesting? God sees. God sees. We don't always see their brokenness. We don't always see their suffering. Sometimes we may even think that they're out of our reach. But they're not out of God's reach. I think this is a really interesting quality of God's. And it's pointed out in Scripture a number of times. And if we look in Psalm 147, in verses 10 and 11, it says, His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor in the pleasure of the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, and those who hope in His steadfast love. I think that's really interesting. God doesn't look at the physical. We've all seen a horse, right? They're big, strong, powerful creatures. And we've seen what men can do. Is anybody going to watch the Olympics? I'm going to watch the Olympics. And these people doing all these different sporting events in the Olympics, they're doing these amazing things. They're lifting heavy objects. They're running super fast. Some of the sports, I can't even tell you what the point of it is. But that's not where God's delight is. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? There's a number of other places where this is mentioned, and I think the most popular one, or the one that I think of the most, is 1 Samuel 16. In 1 Samuel 16, in verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" So again, we have this quality where God looks at the heart. And I think that's really interesting. And I think that's really powerful. Because my smile can hide 1,000 emotions. I'm really good at hiding what I'm thinking. And I'm not the only one. What you see before you is a young man, all dressed up, ready to go. His sermon and PowerPoint is ready. Notes all highlighted and ready to go. But what you didn't see is, a few hours ago, I was having a panic attack. What you didn't see is, while I was sitting up here before service started, I was nervous. I was reading through my notes again, making sure I didn't miss anything. I was looking at my PowerPoint again, making sure that everything was up was nice and neat. All the things running through my mind that could possibly go wrong, that's what I was looking at. That's what I was worried about. On the outside, I may look calm. I may even look confident. But in my heart, I'm still troubled. I'm still nervous. Am I handling this correctly? Now, some people can still pick up when I do this, but there's not many. And I think we do something similar. And there are people far better at it than I am. But God knows our hearts. Let's look at another instance where this is mentioned. This is in 1 Kings 8, verse 39, and it says, "Then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each whose heart you know, according to all his ways. For you, you only, know the hearts of all the children of mankind." So let's get a little bit of context here. The Ark of the Covenant is being brought into the temple, and King Solomon is giving this prayer of dedication. And King Solomon is making mention of this quality of God, because God knows our hearts. God sees the hearts. So the reason I entitled this sermon, "Open the Eyes of My Heart," is because I want to see like God does. I want to see people the way God sees them. Open the eyes of my heart. Now, there's a number of other places in Scripture where this quality is mentioned. It's a pretty popular quality of God's. But I have a question for you. Are we the example that God has called us to be at all times? Are we always the example? Now, I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning or Sunday evening or even Wednesday night. I'm talking about when we go to work on Monday and that one really annoying coworker that we want to throw a chair at is getting on our nerves again. Are we always the example? Even when nobody is watching, we have to be the example. This morning when I was preaching at my home church, I hadn't preached there in 4 years. Now, during that 4 years, I was here at OVU and here at 36th Street. But there was a distinct difference that people could tell in me from the moment I started speaking. Now, that wasn't because I spent 4 years training with Dr. Moss. Granted, Dr. Moss did do a lot. He taught me a lot. But that boldness and confidence wasn't given to me by Dr. Moss. It was given to me by Jesus. It wasn't anything that I did. It was Jesus. I always say that I wish I could do more. I wish I could be a better example. I always say, well, if only I could be in two places at once. A preacher friend of mine once told me, you know, you're just like me. You're looking for a burnout. And what he meant by that was, you're trying to do too much. And sometimes you got to learn to say no. I'm still trying to learn that, and I haven't learned it yet. I still got some growing to do. But my goal is to be the example. To help others. To invest in people. Because I want to see their hearts. I want to see them. I want to see their struggles. I want to be a part of their lives. I want to be the example, church. I think this is something that we should all be striving to do. Because it can be something as simple as just sitting with a friend. I'm 22 years old. I definitely don't have the answers to life. But I can certainly sit with a friend who's struggling. I can certainly sit with him and be there. And just be a comforting presence. I can give my friends rides. They may be struggling with their transport. I can always provide help. Simple things can mean the difference. But my prayer is fairly simple. I like to think it's fairly simple. My prayer is that I want to see others the way God sees them. I want to see the people that have been brokenhearted. I want to see the people that God loves. I want to be able to reach out to those who are brokenhearted, even those beyond my reach. And I want to have a heart for the ones who have been forgotten. There are so many people in the world who need Jesus. What do we know about Jesus' love? A common characteristic that we call it is reckless. It's a reckless kind of love. It doesn't follow any sort of set rules. It's not a conditional type of love. I think that's really important for us. Jesus, before he went on the cross, knew who I was. He knew my sin. He knew I was going to fall short. He knew I was going to fail. He knew I was going to mess up. But he went to the cross anyway. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? Knowing what a mess I am, still went to the cross loving me. Now, that's a reckless kind of love I think everyone should know. Regardless of who we are, regardless of our background. And that's the type of love that God wants us all to know. To conclude, we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14, as was read earlier, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Be strong. And then the verse that I think ties this up in a nice, neat little bow. Let all that you do be done in love. I think it's pretty interesting because we have be watchful. And the way I read this, I think it's be watchful not only for temptation, but also for opportunities. Be watchful for the chance to reach out to somebody, to share our faith, to share the love of Jesus. I think that's a really important quality. Stand firm in the faith. Things are going to be tough. Our faith is going to be challenged. But we have an anchor. We have a foundation that cannot be shaken. Act like men. And that says, act like me. Don't act like me. What's funny is I just now realized that. That's all right. Act like men. We have to be mature in our faith. I always like to joke about when I was baptized. When I was baptized, it wasn't because I really understood who Jesus was or what he did for me. It's because I really didn't like the idea of hell. I really did not want to go there. But over time, my faith had evolved. My faith had grown. And now I do what I do because I understand who Jesus is and what he did for me. It's okay to start there. It's just not okay to stay there. Baptism is a beginning, not an end. Be strong. I can hear the words of my dad in my head saying, you know, things are going to be tough. But sometimes it's just going to be hard when you do it. You got to do it hard. And it always kind of stuck with me. But we have to be strong. And our nice, neat little bow verse, let all that you do be done in love. Let it be done in love, church. If you haven't accepted this love or experienced this peace and love found in Jesus, we invite you to come be baptized. Baptism is a beginning, not an end. This is where the journey starts. If you have questions, we would love to study with you. We would love to work with you. If you're already a Christian but are in need of prayer or have praise or anything, we would ask that you come forward as together we stand.